Jason Hawkins is the Chief Administrative Officer at Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. He joins us today on Our Town. And Jason, good day to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing, George?
I am doing very well. And we're going to look back on 2024. And I'm willing to bet there's been some fantastic things going on this past year over at Peace Harbor Hospital.
Yeah, there has been. We've been had some, it's been a good year. It's been a hard year. As always, healthcare is always tough. But I think we've been able to create some more access and continue to serve the community here locally.
One of the things we saw this last year was the addition of a star, did we not?
Addition of a star.
Yeah, five stars?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was like, well, there's a lot of stars.
Right, there are.
There's almost 600 stars there,
yes,
on campus.
I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a hard, that's a tough one to get. And that has a lot to do around patient experience, clinical scores. Only about 10 to 12% of the country, all hospitals, big and small, get a five-star rating. So we were pretty tickled that we were able to accomplish that this past year. And hopefully we can continue that good work for the community.
Now, that kind of takes the whole hospital into context, right? It's not just one department or another department. It's a combined effort from everybody.
Yeah, it definitely includes the physician services on campus as well as the hospital. So as you come in and get registered, or as you're coming through the ER, be admitted, and just really are you readmitted? While you were there, did you have additional things happen that shouldn't happen? Things that can kind of go wrong in healthcare. We really avoided a lot of those unintended outcomes while people were here, and that's a large reason why we got the five-star rating.
And of course, staffing has a lot to do with how well things go in a hospital. And how has that journey been this last year?
You know, it's staffing is probably the biggest challenge we have across the country, whether it's nurses or techs or environmental services, facility folks, all the folks on the front lines, folks behind the scenes, is just a challenge. And really, we're arguably in the best shape I've seen it in 7 years. So really, well, pre-COVID numbers. We have about, I think, 4 temporary nurses right now. At one time, we were close to 40. So we're doing really well hiring our own folks and getting folks in here permanently. I think we have a total of about 13 openings right now of close to 600 employees. So really able to cover that through per diems or a few travelers that we have. And really, I think it's been intentional. We do a lot of work there in creating opportunities. We have job shadowing programs for the high school kids. We've reinstituted the CNA program where high school kids and maybe adults as well this year can decide to become a CNA, do their didactic training, then do their clinicals at the hospital. And then also Ruth Frank, our CNO, has put together an RN fellowship program where a nurse who's on the medical floor can decide to become an ICU nurse through an ICU fellowship. So really strong work around that. And then also we have the MA apprenticeship program. So folks, right now, if I understand, we don't have any openings for MAs. That could have changed in the last 24 hours. But right now we're arguably staffed as well as I've seen it there at Peace Harbor.
What have you learned about turnover since COVID that you've been able to kind of nip in the bud to maintain the staffing levels?
You know, I think we've always tried to create a culture, I think, at Peace Harbor in terms of trying to reduce that turnover and trying to create and differentiate ourselves. Why would I want to work in Florence? Why would I want to live in Florence? Why would I want to work at Peace Harbor and Peace Health? And really, really focus on those things that we do well. We have a really great Employee Activity Council, or EAC, that's made up of our caregivers that organically look for ways to tell people how much we appreciate them, show them how much we appreciate them. I think that has a large part of it. I think we try to do our best to listen and round and be involved in the departments and make sure that if people are concerned about things, give them a voice for that and give them an opportunity to ask them, well, how would you change that? How could you? There's a lot of smart people there. They have a good idea on what to do, and listening to them is a big part of that.
What happens when big changes come about? Like this year, we saw Dr. MacArthur take another position, although I understand she's still possibly doing some pickup here. Dr. Foster, very popular, very long time person, is taking a few steps back. How do you fill those positions when something like that happens?
Yeah, it's always a little challenging in a smaller community hospital around succession planning for that. And so there are opportunities sometimes to grow from within. And then there's opportunities to recruit and bring new ideas to the campus. And right now, we are recruiting for Dr. MacArthur's position, and we've had a really strong, I guess, application pool coming in. In fact, we're interviewing a few folks this week and next week. And I'm really pleased with the resumes that we're seeing from those and excited to meet them in person. So I think that is part of where, again, creating that culture, creating an atmosphere, creating a campus here that people want to come, kind of a destination to work.
Now, the ED department, are you going to fill that position too?
Yeah, well, Dr. Lanuski is assuming a lot of those roles. She's been here longer than me. I think maybe 10 years. I may not have that right, but I've been here 7, so she was here before I got here. And she has really stepped up, and she's just fantastic to work with.
Not only with technology changing and technology increasing, changes are bound to happen in a year's time in a hospital setting. What sort of things have happened this past year that you're kind of jazzed about, or that you've seen changes that have really made a difference?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that come to mind. This was the first time in my 7 years that we got our wait list down to 0. So those patients that are looking to add a primary care provider are able to call now and get assigned to a provider. We have over 16,000 residents in our community and surrounding areas that consider Florence and Peace Harbor Medical Center their medical home. So that creating that access for them is something we're very proud of. Another area that we kind of worked on as well is opening up our walk-in clinic on holidays now. So that's actually called Priority Care. And not only can you access it on holidays, now we have a new online scheduling feature that we're starting. We just actually rolled that out last week. And so not a lot of people are doing kind of a soft opening for that, but people can get online and see if there's an appointment and select that and then come in for that. So no more having to kind of stand outside and get an appointment, maybe 3 or 4 hours later and then come back.
So, will they give you wait times and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah. I've worked with a hospital in North Carolina that had that. It's like you could actually go on your phone and say, okay, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. It's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. A couple other things. There was an area of focus in the past year around behavioral health patients and coming into our emergency department and how we support them and support our caregivers. We added a telehealth component, a telepsych component with a company for both ED and inpatient services where our doctors can call a psychologist and have them dial in and support their plan of care. We've added a special behavioral health bed that helps protect the patients as well and gives them a little more comfort. Did some upgrades in the front lobby too to improve some security for our staff. And then we have another component around one of our bathrooms that will make it safer for those patients. So that was intentional this past year to work on those things. Also, we've upgraded some of our equipment and some equipment in our OR. So we've been a few years since some of our video equipment for our surgeons that they use to do our procedures. So excited about what that's coming on. And then as far as upcoming opportunities, we're looking at adding ENT services. Actually, they're starting this Friday. So we have a group from as part of Peace Health going to be coming over here a couple times a month, and we'll start to do tubes and tonsils and other types of procedures here beginning the new calendar year. We're adding, right now, cardioversion, so somebody that's an AFib. We can do them emergently, but we've not been scheduling them, so we've been going to be adding that service. So the cardiologists that are here are going to start going into our OR one day a week and scheduled folks that need that. And then also both Peace Harbor and Cottage Grove are going to be pilots for a teleneurology. So those folks that need neurology services in the ER, inpatient services, we can provide that and get consult for those patients that are while they're in-house. So a couple of things we're looking at there. And we also have a budding program called Garden Therapy, and where we're looking at our PTs and OTs and speech therapists are considering, creating a kind of an activity and helping people with garden therapy over. So Bruce Huddleston and some of his team, Becca in particular, have brought some ideas forward. So we're hoping by springtime that we have the opportunity for residents that in our community they're getting therapies could use as far as their treatment and you know, activities of daily living, getting into the gardens, like table gardens, if depending or bending over and using range of motion, things like that. So we're super excited about that.
Just a creative way to keep us moving, I guess.
Huh? You bet. Yeah. And getting people to come to therapy. Not everyone enjoys coming to therapy, George.
But a lot of people enjoy gardening.
They do.
Especially when they get the fruits of their labor.
Yeah. And, you know, we continue to heavily recruit for dermatologists, certified nurse anesthetist. We need an orthopedic surgeon. Pretty good shape in primary care, but we're always recruiting a couple primary care providers and a big emphasis on behavioral health this year as well, and providers in that.
Part of the behavioral health aspect of it, when did hospitals start seeing there needed to be a different way to treat folks when they came in there? Because I imagine for 100 years or so, you know, there was a different way of looking at the mental health patient when they came in.
Yeah, that's been shifting probably. Used to be kind of seen, you know, I go back 20, 30 years in my career, and it was kind of carved out off to the side. You know, the services were in different buildings and different areas, and they were that way. Now it's more of a blended approach, an integrated model. So even now from a primary care, the expectation is that, you know, as a primary care provider is seeing your physician, seeing there may be sensing there's some behavioral health, mental health needs, that they can do a wraparound service or an integrated model where before you leave, there's an introduction to a behavioral health consultant and that there's a handoff of like some additional things. These might be your physical issues, but there's also some behavioral health issues that we want to take a look at and how do we work with that. So embedding them in your primary care offices is a big component of how that kind of happens. Oftentimes then as they assess that patient and get to know that patient, there may be a need for a higher level of behavioral health services that we can connect them to before they something more significant happens.
Now, I realize you probably don't have stats on this, so I don't really need that. But I was just curious, since your career began, are we seeing more mental health issues than we did in the past? Or is it just the way we're seeing them?
I think it's probably both, right? That's probably, it's not either or, it's both. I do think there's an overall, you know, there's a health assessment. It's not a judgment. It's what it is, how that's happening and why that's happening is multifactorial. And we could talk about that for a long time, I'm sure. But, you know, we're trying to address the needs. If this is the health assessment of our community, the needs of our community, and where do we need to be and meet them in that space. So whether it's in the schools, whether it's in the clinics, or whether it's in the ER, that's where we'll try to be for folks.
Jason, what are some of the other things that we're looking forward to changes being made or additions to come to the hospital this
year?
Yeah,
these are just currently in, I would say, in evaluation phase, looking at expanding and relocating our IV infusion and chemotherapy services on campus. That's becoming a program that's probably tripled in size over the last few years, and the leadership team there has done a great job with that. And then most recently, you know, and off and on over the years, there's been some talk about urology services here. So we're going to see if we can take a look at that and see if there's an opportunity to expand the footprint of what our local community could see here. So we'll be evaluating that over the next few months for sure.
Now, big part of being a hospital or a local hospital is being part of the community and part of what goes on here. And Peace Harbor has always done that. What kind of things have been happening in the past, or what kind of things do you foresee happening in the future to maybe step that up or even just kind of continue at the pace it's going?
Yeah, I think we've always believed that in order to, you know, it's like a church, the mission is outside the four walls. And we've believed the same way in healthcare, that our mission is improving the health and well-being of our community. And I think during the pandemic, and actually through the radio station here, we had live moments with Dr. MacArthur and Dr. Foster and talking about, you know, what's happening, how do we mitigate the pandemic and the virus with masking and social distancing, and what about these vaccines and those kind of things. So I think we've always wanted to be part of that space, and we try to do that. This past year, I think we leaned in more than ever. We did a number of things in our community with the help of our leadership team. We've done career fairs and job fairs and talking about the importance of going to healthcare. And I think what we're seeing now, too, is those folks that are going into healthcare really want to make a difference. They saw the impact of the pandemic, and they're being called to be healthcare providers, whether it's doctors or nurses or what it might be. But the other things we did this past year, we did a dune safety event out there and partnered with EMS and some others about the importance of being on the dunes and how you can take precautions, because we really don't want that to happen. We really don't want the things. We also did an event called Every 15 Minutes. We worked with the schools and we helped lead that up, Misty Wadzak and others in our nursing team. Did a great job putting that together, just demonstrating that, drivers that are distracted, whatever that distraction might be, whether it's, alcohol or cell phone usage or distractions of, just being together with four people in a car and talking and things like that and the impact of that. And I think that was a 3-day event up to and including the third day where we were teaching kids, how to do CPR and how to stop the bleed. And it's one thing I think that's really important is educating and sharing, hey, this is important, but if something does happen, what do I do about it? Giving people a sense of purpose when they're done. So I think that's part of it. And I think we'll continue to do health fairs. Last year we did a women's health fair in February, and I think we're looking at doing something similar again this year. We're a big fan of women's health and making sure that the women in our community are getting access to care as well. So we'll continue to do that, continue to focus on workforce development. I think that's an important piece for us as well.
Now, of course, the hospital has its own group of people inside, but there's another group of people on the outside that also contribute to the success of the hospital. Maybe you'd like to, highlight a few of those.
Well, yeah, there's a couple. There's all kinds of partnerships, right? There's we have a lot of partners in town, the Food Share, Farmers Market, Boys and Girls Club, Seroptimus. We're helping out this Saturday with that event. SOS is another great partner that we have, and many others. Just overall, we want to thank our community and thank our community for their support, working with our foundation to support some of the things. A lot of things I just talked about is being supported by the foundation, the funding in the ER for the behavioral health services, the new ENT coming on. There was over $100,000 worth of equipment for that. So I want to thank the community for that. I want to thank our foundation board for kind of sharing that message and helping people support. And really our community health board, just always being there for our team, making sure they're staying focused on the high quality of care. A lot of that 5-star rating is around them being vigilant around that piece for us as well. Thanking our community for trusting us to take care of their loved ones when they need us to be there. We don't want to be a place where people come because we're the closest place. We want to come here because we think we're going to offer them the best opportunity for improvement. So, and just want to wish everyone a happy holiday and Merry Christmas and all those good blessings.
I'm not going to let you go yet.
All right.
What about, are there any new construction projects that are possible coming up in the...
Nothing.
Or we have everything kind of...
We certainly are at a point where we're kind of filled up with space and have been for a few years now. I think this IV infusion component is looking at an expansion area and relocation on campus. So we're looking at a couple spots for that. That would probably be close to 4,000 square feet type of a facility for that. So that's probably the biggest one that we're probably talking about at this point. We have some internal work we're going to do. There's probably about a $3 million heating and air conditioning solution that we're looking at doing. We had that kind of parked for a little bit, and now we're going to pick that back up again. So that's a big one. We're also looking at refreshing our surgical services, our two ORs and endoscopy room, and that's close to $500,000 as well.
Well, it seems like it's been a really good year and another good year to come, and hope we keep that 5-star rating going. Jason Hawkins, thank you.
Thank you, George. Appreciate the opportunity to share what we've been doing.
Up next on Our Town, we'll talk with Brittany Horning. She is a local CPA of BR Horning CPAs.